A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Noah going through tests with the flood and the ark. Last week, I spoke about Abram going through some things, and we associated the way he handled them with being humble to Adonai. And this week, we're going to continue to look at Abraham and the way that he handled tests and stresses that he had to go through. And I can confidently say, if you're living and breathing, you've gone through some stresses and some tests in your life. Or you're going through them right now. And I can guarantee, not to put this on anybody, but there are probably some stresses and tests not too far down the road for each of us as we live. Because whether these tests and stresses come from Adonai to strengthen us, or comes from Satan to try to suppress us, we know that the truth is we have to go through them. We can't just go around them. We can't just avoid them. We can't hire someone to go through them for us. I'm sure if that was able, if we were able to do that, it would say it's somewhere in the Word. But it doesn't. Every time we're shown an example of someone going through a stress and a test, they've had to go through it. And so do we. We have to go through it ourselves. And how we go through it matters. It matters what your character is like as you're going through it. That's why Scripture shows us the faith that the men and women had in the Scriptures and how they went through it, so that we can emulate it, so we can copy it, and we can live it out. This week's portion continues with Abraham and his story and his testing. It's said that there are between 10 and 12 tests that Abraham went through in his life. Depending on who you're reading, they have 10 to 12 instances where Abraham is tested. And depending on the list you look at, not only is the number different, but so are the tests. Each one sees, well, this was his test, and this is his test, and they don't always agree. So when you compile these tests, these lists of tests, boy, I think there must be like 15, 20 different tests that different people see Abraham going through. And there are some that are same on lists, but there's a lot of them that don't match up. And they're unique to the lists. So regardless of which list you pick to look at, you can learn how Abraham went through his tests and what he did and what his life was like and what his most important, character was like as he went through these tests. Call them tests, call them stresses, strains, pressures, whatever you want to call them, it doesn't matter because no one's exempt from them. You can downplay them. You know, it's just a little bump in the road. Or you can tell the truth so that someone can pray with you. I'm really getting attacked here. But one way or the other, you're going through it. And there are ways to get through them. First, let's take a look at a couple of things that Abraham did as he was going through his stresses and tests. And he did have to go through them. You know, the Lord could have just miraculously moved them on life, blessing after blessing after blessing. But how many know that's not the growth pattern? It's not the growth things that Adonai wants you to go through. Because with each test, there's a growth spurt that goes with it. For each test, there's a lesson to learn. And that's why we have to go through them. And that's the things that we can learn from Abraham as we look at what he's done. Now, some of the things He did it correctly. And some of the things he did, he probably could have done better there. But that's what makes him a man. That's what makes him learnable from. And that's where we need to be too. We need to be men and women who are teachable as well, so that when others look at our lives, they can learn from us. You know, when your kids look at you, they look to see how you handle things, how you get through those stresses. And have you ever noticed they'll grow up to handle things fairly similar to the way you did? So if you were young and you had that short fuse, I bet your kids are growing up with a short fuse. If you grew up with a true faith and leaned on Adonai and prayed through these things, I bet your kids are going to learn to pray through these things. So we have to look and know that others are looking at us on how to get through them. So let's look at a few things that Abraham did right first. And the first was the start of last week's portion, Lech Lecha, Genesis 12:1. So I'm going to read 12:1, and then I'm going to skip down to 4. Then Adonai said to Abram, "Get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you." So Abraham went just as Adonai had spoken to him. Also Lot went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So we see Adonai heard from the Lord. Abram heard from the Lord, and he was sure that it was from him, and he acted immediately. He was sure it wasn't an internal voice. He was sure that it was the prompting of the Lord. So the very next day, he got up and he moved. Now let's compare this with another thing that Abram went through. We know that after Hagar had his son Ishmael, that Adonai later opened Sarah's womb, and she had Isaac with Abraham as well. We all know that. Scripture tells us there was a conflict between the boys, and Sarah wanted to send Hagar and Ishmael out so that they wouldn't get any of Abraham's inheritance. Let's take a quick look. Genesis 12:9-14 tells us about this. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, making fun. So she said to Abraham, "Drive out this female slave and her son, for the son of this female slave will not be an heir to my son, with my son, with Isaac." Now the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's eyes on account of his son. But God said to Abram, "Do not be displeased about the boy and your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her voice. For though Isaac shall be your seed, what's it say up on the screen? It says the same thing. For through Isaac shall be your seed be called. Through. Yet I will also make the son of the slave woman into a nation, because he is your seed." So Abram got up early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder and the child, and sent them away. She went and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Abraham was very disturbed about sending Hagar and Ishmael out. Abraham loved Ishmael. He was his son, his first son. He loved them and was very troubled about sending them out to what he was probably sure of was their death. He was sending them into a desert with one skin of water and a little bit of bread. But he waited until he heard from Adonai, told them, listen to what Sarah says. Now, we don't know how much time was between Sarah saying, get rid of them, and Abram saying, okay, now it's time for them to go. It could have been overnight. It could have been weeks. We don't know. What we do know is that between those times, Abram heard from the Lord on what to do. It may not have been, you know, the most detailed explanation that we know of. It doesn't tell us. But he heard from the Lord, don't worry, do what Sarah says. I'm going to take care of Ishmael. He is going to become a great nation. And he does. He does become a great nation, at least in number. Maybe he doesn't follow Adonai, but he becomes a great nation in number. And because Adonai did this, I'm sure that something great is going to come out of it. It hasn't yet. They've become a thorn in the side of all of Israel and the Jewish people, but Adonai always turns things to his good. So I don't know what that plan is, but I know he's going to have to turn it into something good. Can't stay the way it is. That's for sure. So he turned to Adonai to hear what he should do. Let's take another example of Adonai successfully going through a stressor time for him. And that's the Akedah story we've heard a couple of times now. The story of the binding of Isaac is again a time where Abraham was greatly stressed, very displeased with what the Lord was telling him. Take Isaac, your one and only son, your beloved son, and sacrifice him on a mountain that I'm going to show you. Could you imagine what he's saying? God, this is the son you said was going to be the blessing. I believe it. I sent out Ishmael because you said this is the one. Genesis 22, 2 and 3. Then he said, this is the Lord, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains about which I will tell you. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering, got up, and went to the place about which God had told him. He heard directly from Adonai, so the very next morning he acted. He knew that it was from Adonai, so there was no other reason to wait and see if there was another word coming. That was the word of Adonai. Therefore, he was going to act immediately upon it. Whether he agreed with it or not, he was going to act upon it because he had faith. Because he knew that God was going to do something to bless it, bless the situation. He may not have known the full plans, but he knew God is a God who blesses. There are three things that allow us, that'll either allow the test to get the best of us or allow us to get the best of the test. There are three things, and we've seen them here. First is we need not despair. That attitude of gratitude we've spoken about before, well, this is just the opposite. This is allowing the situation to darken our attitude. It causes us not to be able to see past the things that are happening in front of us to that spiritual truth, to the things where it's going to be victory in Adonai. Because all we can see is, I don't like this. I only see darkness. I don't know what's going on. I don't trust. Israel was coming out of Egypt and into the promised land, and they said this in Numbers 14 as the spies came back with a bad report. Why is Adonai bringing us to the land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be like plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They said to each other, let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Despair led them, was going to lead them back into bondage. And it'll lead you back into bondage if you allow it to. Israel was on the verge of going into the promised land. But they wanted to turn back to become slaves again. We can't let that despair turn us. Next, we can't lose confidence in Adonai. So there are two things we have to do. Always depend on Adonai by first leaning not only on his understanding, but second on his ability to turn all things to our good. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I know that I believe I used this verse last week as well, but it works so well here. The children of Israel didn't want to trust Adonai. When they were about to enter into that promised land, so what had happened? They walked back and forth. 40 years, they walked the desert until all of the adults of that generation died off. So we'll have those straight paths if we trust in Adonai. And finally, we must not turn from obedience. For without obedience, there will be defeat in every situation. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. There may be times that you do things and it looks like you are succeeding. But if you're not walking in the Lord, that success will be short-lived. I'll guarantee it that if you're not walking with the Lord, any success you see will be short-lived. And that's because you are not eternal on this land, in this world. But our God is eternal. Therefore, his plans for victory are eternal. And the victory he has is eternal. You are but a vapor. And therefore, so are the victories that are hatched out of your own plans. They will not last. They may appear to be there, and they appear to be solid, but I'll guarantee you, they don't last. So these are the three things that are the definition of faith. Faith is the presence of these. It is the hope, not in the knowledge of who he is and what he's capable. Faith is knowing that when we follow, regardless of what we see in the physical, we know that he has control not only in the physical of what we see, but in the spiritual that we cannot see yet. Now, there were times that this was not the case for Abraham. And we can see that when that it didn't turn well for him or those around him. Abraham was blessed by Adonai, and it seems that Abraham was protected by Adonai. But he didn't always make the right choices. These were the times that he acted, and those around him were in history paid the price. We talked a little bit about Ishmael and Abraham's interactions with Ishmael and Isaac. But let's go back to the births. Sarah and Abraham allowed what they saw to affect what they know of Adonai and the faith that they should have had in Adonai. Abraham was told that there would be a child from Sarah and him, and that would be the heir. But Sarah got anxious. Sarah fell into despair and caused a plan of her own to go forward. And Abraham was right behind her, allowed it to happen. You know, Abraham had the ability, or should have had the ability, to say, no, that's not God's plan. He said, we will have a child. Let's wait. But Abraham said, whatever seems best to you, because, you know, I just can't take you anymore. This is, you're just driving me crazy with your despair. You're driving me into the despair with you. And I bet we've all been there at least once where your spouse is saying something and you're going, no, 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 okay, all right, I give up. But when it comes to spiritual matters, don't give up. Think about what the consequences are going to be or could be and what the true word of the Lord says. Abraham fell into despair with Sarah, and they had Ishmael, who's been a thorn in the side of Israel since then. Became the father of the 12 nations of the Arabs. And as I said earlier, I don't know what the good will be, but I know there's going to be a good. I don't know how. God's desires for all men to be saved, so I know they too will eventually be saved. I don't know how, but then I don't have to. All right. So we will face tests and stresses. And another great example of this stress right to death is the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel. They were being stressed, but they refused to bow down to the stress. So let's take a look at Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, now let's just go back a little and say, so Nebuchadnezzar was saying, everybody must bow down to my gods. Everybody has to. These children of Israel knew that they should only bow down to the one true God. So 3:16 in Daniel says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to answer you concerning this matter. If it was so, our God whom we serve is able to save us. If it is so, our God whom we serve is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Yet even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God, nor worship the golden image that you set up. When faced with death, they had the same faith shown in the Akita story. Don't know how it's going to happen, but my God will save me. Don't know what's going to happen when I get thrown into the furnace, whether I'm going to walk out of it and he's going to deliver me, or if it comes down to it, then I'm going to stand before the Holy One and his throne, and that'll be my reward. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I trust him enough that regardless, I will not bow down to a false god. That faith saved them. That faith in Adonai saved them. That's the kind of faith that we need as well. We may not be facing the fiery furnace in our lives, but we'll face something that might feel like it eventually, and we have to have that faith. James chapter 1 tells us how to think and act in these times of testing. So I'm going to go through a couple of verses in James 1. It's a great chapter to read through for faith building. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." There's nothing easy about going through trials. If it was easy, it wouldn't be a trial. There's just nothing easy about going through them. But we're still told, consider it all joy. We're still told that if we get through it, it will be a completed good work in us. So go through it in joy. You don't joy about the hardship. You joy about the outcome that you know is going to come at the end of this trial. James 1:19. "Know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Don't let the trial pull you into despair and anger, because that is what a trial will do. It will pull you down. It will be that test of, can you stand? Can you stand up straight physically? And can you stand spiritually so as not to lash out to others? It's going to be tough." In James 1:21, "So put away all moral filth and excess of evil, and receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves." So we're told, instead of sitting by becoming angry or in any other way of sitting, don't do what the world would have you do. Don't just listen to Scripture, what Scripture tells you, but do what you're encouraged to do by Scripture. Everybody reacts differently when they're going through these tests. Everybody reacts differently when they go through stresses. For some people, it's anger, and they lash out. For some people, they'll fall back to an addiction, drinking, drugs, even pornography. Don't do what the world would have you do, falling back on the things of the world. Build yourself up in the Word. See what the path of the Lord is. Be encouraged by Scripture. Because even as we said earlier today, it is a tree of life to those who take hold of it. And those who support it are praiseworthy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Hold on to the Word. Be in fellowship so that when you're feeling weak, there's someone you can call and say, you know, I'm just not feeling good right now. And let that person pray with you. Be open to you. Be open to them so that they can pour into your life. Let them speak the words that at the moment you can't speak for yourself. Be built up in the Word. Father, help us as we go through our stresses and our tests of this world, because we know there are. We know Satan pushes against us. And we know that when they're not from Satan, they're from you for our good. But sometimes it's hard to tell which is which until the outcome. But in either way, we ask that you, Ruach, guide us through each and every one of these stresses. 2 Peter 2:9 says, "Therefore, The Lord certainly knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to keep the unrighteous being punished until the day of judgment, especially those who follow after the flesh in its unclean desires and who despise the Lord's authority. Ruach, help us and rescue us from the trials. Help us so that we don't get lost in despair. Help us to hold on to our confidence of who you are. Because when we hold on to that confidence, then we can continue walking in obedience to you. Help us to keep walking in your authority, coming against the enemy with every step, against the enemy with every flaming arrow that they throw at us. Allow us to quench it by the shield that's your word as well. Help us to continue walking in your path. May our eyes always be turned to you, the one who guarantees eternal victory. Because the one thing we know is regardless of what happens to our flesh, our soul is in your hand. And for all eternity, if we walk the good walk and do not give up until the end of the race, if we do this, eternal victory will be ours and we will stand before your throne in your presence, blessed to see who you are and what you have for our life. So we lift up our hearts to you and we say, Ruach HaKodesh, work upon us when we work through these stresses and tests. Keep us walking on your path and not that of the world or even that of our own when we think we know what we should be doing. For those times that the world pushes and we start losing sight, help us with an accountability partner who will help us in our sight and help us to hear your word. We just thank you for your Ruach is the one that we can depend upon. You alone. We can depend upon you to point us to the right person to speak to. We can depend upon you to build up our faith. We can depend upon you to keep us safe even when the flaming arrows fly. Safe for all eternity, even though in this flesh, sometimes we'll get a little singed by that flaming arrow. Our eternal soul will not die because we trusted you. And we will stand before your throne because of our trust in you. And we will have eternal victory because of our trust in you. Father, I pray for those who are feeling weak because of the arrows that are thrown at them. And I ask Ruach HaKodesh, work upon them. Give them joy, even in the trial. Help them to see the victory that they do not know yet. Help them to love on you so that you'll love on them, so that their comfort will be eternal. For that is the thing we're positive about. Your love is eternal. And the world will not rip us away from your hands. Yeshua said, I have not lost one that you put into my hands. We are in Yeshua's hands, and we will not be lost, regardless of how it feels. So we thank you for your strength. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for your mercy in all the things that we go through. It's you we depend upon. Amen and amen.